This is Nick.
This is Jack.
Welcome back. It is Monday, April 1st, and today's pod is the best one yet. It's a T-boy.
The top three pop business news stories you need to know today.
All right, Jack, I gotta ask, did you do the Reese's Easter egg or did you do the Peeps this year? Which one was the winner? What'd you do?
You know that peanut butter plus chocolate is the magical combination I can't get enough of.
You just can't beat it, so I think I know what you did.
I mean, marshmallows kind of grossed me out. Like, what's in there?
Chocolate-covered Peeps. That's the answer. You gotta merge the two. Jack, three stories for today's T-Boy. What do we got?
For our first story, 1 week from today, a total solar eclipse creates a path of totality across the United States.
So Jack and I are looking at the economic impact of losing the sun for 3 minutes.
For our second story, Facebook's most successful feature, it's not liking, poking, or friending.
No, Facebook's most successful feature is Facebook Marketplace. Believe it.
So we're jumping in T-Boy style. And our third and final story, Japan's largest diaper company is making a dramatic pivot.
From baby diapers to adult diapers. Jack and I are going to tell you why.
But Yetis, before we hit that wonderful mix of stories.
Amazing mix to kick off the week. Love the mix, Jack.
Yetis, you may be in a dating recession right now.
But besties, we are bullish on your dating potential.
So Nick and I have good news. Able. A-B-L-E.
Always be launching everything. We're always launching something. And Jack, what are we launching now?
Our latest product is T-Boy Dating.
T-Boy Dating, where you can find the best one yet.
We are so excited to launch a dating app that matches you based on the stocks you own.
It's a dating feature that is literally going to connect you to, exactly who you want to be connected with.
So you're going to swipe right if you own shares of the S&P 500.
You're going to match if you own shares of Microsoft.
We believe true love is finding the perfect portfolio partner.
So Jack and I are creating a list of our listeners based on their holdings, based on your holdings.
Now, Yetis, the key to a successful relationship, it's the same as a successful investment.
It's diversification, baby.
She's all crypto, but he's fixed income.
Danny's a day trader, but Debbie's a buy and holder.
Small cap guy meets large cap girl. That's how T-Boy Dating works.
And Jack, how are we whipping up T-Boy Dating exactly, my friend?
Here's what you got to do. Tell us your top five stock holdings.
Then Jack and I will match you with a complimentary investor.
On T-Boy Dating, instead of uploading pics, you upload ticks.
Yeah, like your ticker symbols of the stocks you own. That's what we're matching you on.
And then Nick and I are going to put all your names into a spreadsheet and connect you with a potential lover.
No algorithm needed. Jack and I are playing Cupid here, and Wall Street is in on the fun.
It's a labor of love that Nick and I are thrilled to conduct for you.
Because, besties, love is a long-term hold.
And dating should pay dividends, shouldn't it?
So find your EBA daddy.
Find your market cap sugar mama.
Or, Jack, is it who's your EBA daddy?
Well, T-Boy Dating app will tell you.
And the best part about this, what is it, Jack?
Connections made on T-Boy Dating end in diamond hands. Literally.
Past performance is not indicative of future returns, but you will find the best one yet.
So Yetis, join the waiting list for T-Boy Dating by clicking on the link in today's episode description.
So click on the link in today's episode description to join the best one yet dating app.
Because it's not ROI, it's ROS.
Jack, let's match our three stories.
15 years before this song, two boys from the Northeast met in the dorm. They had an idea to cause a cultural storm. It's the best one yet, but the best is the norm. Jack, Nick, that's it. I don't even think they need to practice. 50%, that's a fat tip. T-Boy City on your at list. If you know, you know, cause we ready to go. We can't wait no more, so just start the show. Start the show. Start the
show. First, a quick word from our sponsor.
Sponsorship for this show comes from SoFi Invest. Alternative investments are now available on SoFi. Unlock the potential to build and protect your wealth with alts, including real estate, venture capital, pre-IPO unicorns, and more at SoFi.com/T-Boy.
Alternative investment funds have unique risks, including the risk of loss, may charge high fees, can be illiquid, and aren't suitable for all investors. Investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and important information contained in a fund's prospectus prior to investing. SoFi Securities LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Canva.
6 years ago, Nick and I were designing the pitch deck for our media company.
Yeah, we didn't want it to look like some amateur college PowerPoint. We wanted to impress investors. So we made our first pitch deck on Canva.
Canva is the easy-to-use online design platform for presentations, social media posts, physical flyers, anything you can design.
Canva turns you into a digital Da Vinci, delighting your audience with design.
They got these color palettes that you can use. It makes your work look beautiful.
We used presentation templates that were available for free and then customized them for our company.
And guess what? That summer, we sold that company, Market Snacks, thanks to the deck we built with Canva.
Oh, and funny thing, we still use Canva today for all our design projects.
So Yetis, start designing today at canva.com.
Canva, designed for work. For our first story, the total solar eclipse will introduce huge attention to parts of America that usually go under the radar.
The eclipse is once in a lifetime. Tour spending on that eclipse isn't.
All right, Jack, checking the calendar is 1 week from today, Monday, April 8th in the afternoon. What are we going to see, man?
It'll be like Zeus turned off the light switch.
Oh, to quote Bonnie Tyler, we're getting the total eclipse of the sun.
The United States, Canada, and Mexico is going to experience 3 full minutes of a total solar eclipse.
Jack and I aren't astrologists, but we understand that the moon is going to pass directly between the earth and the sun, creating a ring of fire around the moon's shadow.
And if you're lucky enough that the skies are clear when the eclipse happens, it's going to go from a completely sunny day to complete darkness in an instant.
Bugs, animals, deer are going to be confused wandering around the streets.
Everyone's like, what is going on? Why is it dark out right now?
College students are going to be doing whatever college students are doing this moment like this.
They're going to be lit. Figuratively.
Now, according to NASA, the eclipse is going to hit American soil first in Texas at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And then 1 hour later, the path of totality will have finished up way on the other side of the country in Maine.
We're calling it the Blackout Tour. Starts in Dallas, then hits Little Rock, then Cleveland, then Buffalo, and then Burlington, Vermont.
Across 1 hour next Monday, a strip of America is going to experience totality. Complete blockage of the sun.
Although all 48 states will see some kind of partial eclipse in some way.
Now look, Yetis, if you're going to look at the eclipse, don't look directly at the sun. Come on.
You got to use the special goggles. You got to wear the special goggles.
Yeah, not even your sunglasses or even 2 pairs of layered sunglasses. That's not even safe.
You could get blinded by this. So we'll drop a link to NASA's interactive map so you can plan ahead and prepare your eyes.
Thank you, Nick. I'm glad we said that.
But Yetis, here's what Jack and I found fascinating about this story. The eclipse is creating a new thing that we're calling eclipse boom towns.
In the path of totality, there will be unprecedented tourist events. There will be solar spending surges.
And Airbnb just said that searches for Airbnbs in the path of totality increased 1,000% from last year.
The path of totality is a huge economic moment for places that just aren't used to getting any tourists at all.
Let's jump in T-Boy style and look at the numbers from the last eclipse in 2017. What did we see, Jack?
Wyoming, America's smallest state by population, got 260,000 visitors for that eclipse.
All right, Jack, can you sprinkle on some population context for us over there?
That's equal to half of the state's population.
The state grew by 50% overnight, basically, and that brings in some money, doesn't it, man?
$60 million of economic value in just 1 weekend for Wyoming.
And Yetis, it's not just Wyoming. With this eclipse, we're expecting tiny towns that never get visitors to have hipsters from Brooklyn popping up for the long weekend snagging Airbnbs.
Yeah, Vermont, this brave little state, we are 600,000 strong normally, but we're expecting 200,000 visitors next week.
Top the strategic maple reserves.
Did you hear what Rochester, New York has been doing? They've been planning for this total eclipse for 10 years.
Rochester, the city, bought 500,000 pairs of goggles just to prepare for this event.
Yetis, on Monday, in the eclipse boom towns we're talking about, the schools are closed. The office buildings are closed. Some towns are moving interstates to be one directional, like north in both directions and then south in both directions to handle the traffic.
Yetis, add it all up. And the eclipse is the economic equivalent of multiple Taylor Swift concerts in 1 day on 1 hour nationwide.
But those concerts are happening in a town so small it has one traffic light and one postman that everyone knows by name. Larry, how are the kids?
They're wonderful. They're watching the eclipse. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for all our buddies in the economic eclipse boom towns?
Spending is contagious. It's called the money multiplier effect.
Now, Yetis, we know what you're thinking here. You might be thinking, hey, nice, small towns in the path of totality are going to enjoy a one-off surge of spending.
A nice little one-off economic boost for small town restaurants, their hotels, their shops, and their stores.
Okay, but here's the economic lesson here. In economics, it's never just one-off. Because that Brooklyn hipster is going to spend money first at the gift shop.
That means the gift shop owner, who's a local, has extra money in their pocket. And they're going to spend that money on a nice dinner out in town.
Well, then the owner of that restaurant is going to then pay the waiter for that restaurant. And they're both going to end up buying something with their new income.
And around it goes. In economics, they call this the money multiplier effect.
So besties, for small town America, the eclipse boom, it isn't a one-off because spending is contagious.
It's called the money multiplier effect.
For our second story, the most successful feature ever built by Facebook, get this, it's Facebook Marketplace.
Here is how Facebook Marketplace became the biggest shopping destination in the world.
All right, first, if we're going to kick off the story, let's start with some context. Jack, what was that shocker we discovered about Facebook?
Believe it or not, Yetis, most American adults, like you included, most of you, still use Facebook.
68% of Americans are still using Facebook, according to Pew Research.
Now, that's kind of shocking because you think of like your Aunt Linda posting pictures of a sunset and then angry posts about politics.
Wait, another picture of the fireworks from the 4th of July in 2015. That's wonderful, Aunt Edna.
Well, here's what explains that paradox that 68% of us still use Facebook.
It's one single sentence Jack and I discovered last week.
I only use Facebook for Marketplace.
I only use Facebook for Marketplace.
Those are the words of 491 million people globally, myself included, according to a recent study by Capital One.
Facebook Marketplace, it turns out, is the internet's garage sale, and it's happening everywhere.
Gen Z loves it, even though they don't love Facebook.
They won't admit it, but they got that lamp on Facebook Marketplace.
But here's the most shocking hero statistic of that Capital One report. In an average month, up to 1.3 billion people buy something on Facebook Marketplace.
We repeat, one out of six humans on Earth, 1.3 billion people, buy something on Facebook Marketplace every single month.
This means that Facebook is the biggest shopping destination in the world by far.
1.3 billion people, that's bigger than eBay, bigger than Walmart. That is even bigger than Amazon, Jack.
And get this, 491 million people only have a Facebook account so that they can access Facebook Marketplace.
They were literally only on Facebook so they can buy a dresser on Facebook Marketplace.
Facebook Marketplace is now 8 years old. It was launched in 2016 as a classic zucking.
This is like obvious zucking, isn't it, man? I mean, this is the first zuck.
Mark Zuckerberg saw what Craigslist was doing, and so he launched his own version, which was a copycat.
But with much higher paid designers and engineers, Zuck was able to create a much better version of Craigslist that doesn't look like it'll kill you.
Yeah. So just like Craigslist, on Facebook Marketplace, it's a locally listed marketplace of secondhand things.
And just like Craigslist, on Facebook Marketplace, you can buy baby toys, clothing, dumbbells, lumber.
A lot of lumber for some reason in Vermont's Facebook Marketplace.
Cars, even houses on Facebook Marketplace.
Now, Facebook doesn't take a cut of the transactions that happen on Facebook Marketplace.
Which is a lot like Craigslist, too.
And also like Craigslist, it's up to the buyer and the seller to meet up in person and like hand off the goods and handle the money. Sounds like a drug deal, the way I'm describing it.
And also like Craigslist, someone will ping you, ask how much the armoire is, and then never contact you again.
True. You'll get about 20 inquiries and then a lot of ghosting after that.
But yeah, the key reason that people prefer Facebook Marketplace to Craigslist, it's because Facebook really is a social network. So Jack, what's the takeaway for, do I have $5? They disappeared. I don't know. I'm not selling it. Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Facebook Marketplace?
Facebook's surprise value isn't as a social media. It's as a social network.
Facebook Marketplace's shocking success highlights that social networks can be more valuable than social media.
Facebook makes a lot of money with social media. Like, a lot of people swipe through their Instagram feed and see a whole bunch of paid ads in there.
But what you don't realize is how much money Facebook makes on Facebook Marketplace, where every fourth post is an ad.
Craigslist offers the same thing as Facebook Marketplace without ads, So in theory, Craigslist should be better.
But Facebook Marketplace provides some sense of safety and security to the user because the buyers and sellers have names and Facebook accounts.
If you're meeting up in someone's garage to pick up a sconce, you like that you at least have the person's Facebook account in case the deal goes bad.
So yeah, it is Facebook and it isn't social media. Facebook really is a social network.
And Facebook Marketplace's success reminds us of that.
Now, a quick word from our sponsor.
This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely. Positively, FedEx. Today's show is sponsored by Acura.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura.
And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet.
Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own.
Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
For our third and final story, Japan's largest diaper company just made a huge pivot from baby diapers to adult diapers.
Japan's diaper drama. It's a wake-up call about our aging demographics.
Jack, can we introduce to the podcast OG Holdings? Who is it, Jack?
This is a 151-year-old conglomerate based in Japan. They're publicly traded on the stock market over in Tokyo.
They sell paper, they sell packaging, and they sell diapers.
It's the largest diaper brand on the islands of Japan. It's like they're Pampers.
Yeah, it is. If you got a new kiddo in Tokyo, you're not putting them in Pampers. You are putting them in OG diapers.
But here's the news. OG is ending their baby diaper business. But they're not ending their diaper business.
Because OG is shifting all their diaper production to adult diapers only.
We repeat. No more newborn baby diapers, only adult elderly diapers.
But yet, here's what Jack and I found fascinating about this story. This diaper decision is actually part of a much broader trend.
It turns out adult diapers have been beating baby diapers in Japan for years.
Get this, OG's baby diaper sales fell from 700 million at their peak in 2001 to just 400 million last year. They almost fell by half.
In fact, in 2011, adult diapers passed baby diaper sales in Japan, and it's only gotten a bigger difference since then.
And that's because, according to the United Nations, Japan is officially the oldest country in the world.
This diaper switcheroo happening in Japan, it's a wake-up call about Japan's baby bust.
Because Japan just had a record low number of babies.
The number of newborns in Japan fell another 5% last year to an all-time low compared to their population.
And Japan now has a record high number of seniors.
Get this, one out of every three Japanese citizens is over the age of 65. One out of every three people is retired and not in the workforce.
Now, Jack, and I should point out there are a whole bunch of reasons for this baby bust in Japan.
Marriage rates are lower, which means fewer kids are going to get born.
Cost of living's higher, so it's more expensive to have kids right now.
And more women are in the workforce, which kind of tends to fewer babies being born.
Although the government has tried a bunch of incentives financially to spur more babies being born, and some of them are pretty creative and pretty lucrative, Jack.
This one sounds pretty nice. Families that have kids receive $100 a month allowance per child until that child is 18 years old.
Okay, Jack, that's nice, but I've got one that's even nicer. Get this. In Japan, college tuition is free for families with three kids or more.
So if you have two kids, you have to put them through college. If you have three, all of them get a scholarship paid for by the government.
But yet, is none of these solutions to Japan's baby bust are working. So what do we think, Jack?
There's another option that other countries have successfully used to offset their low birth rates.
Feels like our takeaway. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over in Japan?
Immigration is the anti-aging cream of economics.
Yet it's not just Japan facing a baby bust population decline right now. Like China? China, once the biggest country in the world, they're facing one too now.
And so is nearly every developed economy in the world.
The United States, Mexico, all of Europe, they're all having less than two kids on average per couple, which leads to a population decline.
Increasing the birth rate to over two, that's not the only remedy to reverse an aging population problem. The other remedy is immigration.
Yeah, the U.S. birth rate has been below 2 each year since 2009, and yet our population is growing and staying relatively young thanks to immigration.
Yeah, there are other countries in the world that have high birth rates, and we are taking some of those people through immigration into our own country.
On the other hand, Japan allows almost no immigration.
Japan's prime minister recently said this: "We're on the verge of whether we can continue to function as a society because of our low birth rate and aging population."
Well, the easiest remedy to that problem, it's immigration.
Immigration. It's the anti-aging cream of economics.
Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us to kick off the week?
Small towns in the path of totality are bracing for solar eclipse tourists next week.
And all that spending isn't a one-off because of the money multiplier effect.
For our second story, it's Facebook Marketplace. Facebook Marketplace is the biggest shopping destination in the world, with 1.3 billion buyers every month.
It's a reminder that Facebook's biggest strength isn't social media, it's social network.
And our third and final story, Japan's top diaper company is pivoting from baby diapers to adult diapers.
Immigration, it is the anti-aging cream of economics.
But Yetis, this pod's not over yet. Here's what else you need to know today.
First, Sam Bankman-Fried was convicted guilty of fraud months ago, but he just received his sentence, and what was it, Jack?
On Thursday, Sam Bankman-Fried was sentenced to 25 years in prison, and he has to pay $11 billion in a forfeiture.
At the sentencing, the judge said he'd never saw a word of remorse for the lies and fraud that Sam Bankman-Fried committed, so he's getting 25 years.
Second, the Washington Wizards and Washington Capitals, the basketball and hockey teams, they're going to stay in Washington, D.C. after all.
The two teams struck a new deal to stay in D.C. until at least 2050 with $515 million of investment from the city.
The teams were going to move across the river to Virginia, but they're actually going to stay in the city now.
And finally, we just finished the first 3 months of the year and the S&P 500 rose 11% to a fresh record high. Congratulations.
The first quarter of 2024 was the best first quarter for the stock market in 5 years.
Now time for the best fact yet. This one is from our weekly Saturday newsletter, the best newsletter yet. What do we whip up in this one, Jack?
The Facebook poke. The poke was one of Facebook's first features dating all the way back to 2004.
The poke, it actually existed before the news feed. It's like the OG feature.
Nick, now what is a poke exactly? Like, how would you poke someone?
I guess technically, Jack, it is the digital equivalent of a charming but not quite creepy hug.
I think it's more like a digital wink. It's like, I see you. I see you.
Well, Yetis, the poke never actually went away. It was just harder to find how to poke someone until recently.
Facebook made a design change recently that makes poking much more prominent on that platform.
And get this, Facebook pokes are up by 13x in just the last month.
Facebook announced it themselves on Threads. It's up 1,200%. That's a lot of poking.
So Yetis, poke our newsletter at tboypod.com/newsletter. It's the best newsletter yet.
Now go poke the T-Boy Pod Facebook account right now.
But Yetis, before we go, remember, Jack and I are bullish on your dating potential.
That's why we launched T-Boy Dating today. Join the waitlist by clicking the link in this episode description, and we will add you to our master spreadsheet of love.
Find your EBITDA daddy, get your market cap sugar mama.
Click the link in today's episode description.
Jack and I are playing corporate Cupid, and we'll see you in there.
Find your best one yet.
And before we go, a happy birthday to Yeti and YouTuber Miguel Stevenson, who's celebrating down in Somerville, South Carolina with a 15th birthday.
Happy birthday to Brent Kerr, celebrating on the Big Island of Hawaii.
And Liv Golden is celebrating a birthday down in Florida with her puppy Hattie and is coming to our live show in New York City.
Happy birthday to Marnassar Javier in Houston, Texas.
And Bjorn Carlson is celebrating a birthday in Plymouth, Minnesota.
He's defrosting from the foot of snow that he just got dumped on.
And Kendra Sinclair in Red Hook, New York, just renovated a hotel upstate. We'd love to know where it is, Kendra. Jack and I go upstate a bunch.
Upstate! And congratulations to Katrina Croft from Virginia, who's celebrating on maternity leave with their daughter, Rudy.
And congratulations to bestie Joe David Stark, who is lounging out for his first day of retirement in Iowa.
And congratulations to Masia, who has an interesting HR move they're pulling right now.
Yeah, Masia just moved into a new apartment in Zurich, Switzerland, which is right next to their boss's apartment. Pro tip, don't poke your boss.
Oh, that's a definite no-no. This is Jack. I own stock of Amazon, and Nick and I both own stock of Airbnb and ETFs of the S&P 500. It's like, I see you. If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
Nick and Jack here. I want to quickly tell you about the show, Business Wars.
With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman.
From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world.
Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more, Wondery means business.